On the cover, our heroes, Arcana and Frequency, sit in uncomfortable steel chairs in a stony prison basement. A glass barrier separates them from a figure on the other side. The individual is shadowed, their identity hidden by the harsh lighting of the prison cell. There is a single word bubble, Alina speaking, suggesting, "Maybe we can help you if you help us."
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Frequency. Bringing the megahertz.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is issue 23, Digital Getaway. Issue 2, To Catch a Criminal. The first panel of the comic is the asset, and he is panting heavily, and he is standing in the, like, an aisle of a data center. And he turns and looks down one of the alleyways, like in this in the data center, and he sees the figure of the criminal, all in black, you know, like a black leather trench coat with the black scarf wrapped around their face. And they turn and run in a different direction, and the asset sprints down, and he's probably got his gun out, and he turns the direction that they turned and slides and sees just the final pieces of a little bit of that dark purpley electricity cotton candy smoke going into one of the server racks, and everything starts to kind of go haywire, and all the little light, the green lights in on the front of the servers all around him flicker and go out all at once, and suddenly we just see the dark outline of the asset in pitch black. And then we cut to Alina and Frequency.
So we're outside the digital facility?
The digital detention center, which is a pretty mundane looking building. As buildings in Protean City go, it's got the same, it's probably got only like two columns in front of it. As opposed to the more extravagant buildings that a lot of the city buildings are. And it is clearly a jail there. I mean, so it's weird because it's clearly a jail. There are security cameras and there's a guard just on the inside of the door. But it's also like there aren't bars in the windows because obviously all of the people being detained here are completely computer-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do? What's your plan?
Okay. I am going to turn to Frequency and say, I have credentials. We don't need to talk about where these credentials came from and why I have them, but I do.
Okay.
So my plan is to go in and say we need to interview Ultracade. If he can help us from the cell, great. But I'm having a feeling that we're gonna need... I can get us all the way in. And we might even be able to not sound the alarms once we get out. But we definitely need some way to convince them that we have not broken out this prisoner.
Okay.
Do you think you can find a way to contain him so we can get him out undetected?
They've, you know, in order to get him in, like they had to have some way to get him in here. So through the same rites, we should be able to follow those same steps backwards to get him out.
Filling me with a whole lot of confidence, yeah. Frequency. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're my associate and consultant. What do you want to be called? You're going to be called Satchmo Pendergrass.
Okay.
Unless you've got another name.
I mean, I usually just go by Ben.
Oh, it's an alias. You need to have an alias so they don't know that it was you in case they discover that we did something bad.
Okay. How about just Mo?
Mo?
Yeah.
Mo? Like Madonna Mo? Or
like Mo.
Okay.
M-O-E Mo.
Okay. What does Mo stand for?
I don't know. Mo.
Okay, fine. I think we need to find... How many heist movies have you seen?
I've seen a few of them.
Fine. You know what? Mo. So you're Mo.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wave my identification card at the... I assume there's security cameras.
Well, there's a security guard. Okay. You go up into the entranceway.
Okay, so I'm going to approach them and say, hi.
I think that there is an initial guard, like mm-hmm. in like an atrium, who like sees that you are, they're watching like a scanner that you might have to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just there to like make sure that people aren't bringing weapons in.
Right.
Which I don't think either of you are.
No.
You're not really the weapons type. And so they wave you past, and then when you get inside, there's a person behind like glass. Mm-hmm. Who's sitting at a desk, and they'll be the person that you show your identification to. Okay. And so they'll look up and say, what is your business here, Miss
Jane Docent? Yes, I'm currently working with the Protean City Police. We're following up a few leads. This is my associate Mo, and we currently have reason to suspect that the prisoner 0546624 3, aka Ultracade, may have some information that can help us with our investigation.
Okay, we can have them we can have it loaded up into the interrogation cell for you. Just and they're gonna kind of like point to there's a hallway. There's really only one hallway. Mm-hmm. Down there, third door. Don't take too long. You get an hour.
Okay, thank you.
One of our techs will be with you shortly. The room is there's a table. It's a kind of a big empty room. There's a table in the middle. The table is cut in half by a glass, like a thick plane of glass, that divides the whole room and just really like even straight through the table. And on the other side of the table, or on the other side of the glass, is the other side of the table and a chair. There's probably a plant or something. Like, it's obviously fake on your side to make the room look a little bit less stark. There is a computer server on the other side. There's like a big rack with like one or two computer servers plugged in on the other side. And after a moment of waiting, a person in an electrostatic suit walks in, just kind of looks like a lab jacket. And they have it looks like a big drive. It looks like a hard drive, but it's larger than that. Mm-hmm. And it has a big handle on one side, and they slide something out of the server rack, and there's like a connection point where they connect in this like big drive, and then it snaps down to lay flat, and they slide the thing back in and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And after a moment, the room, the other half of the room that's on the far side of this glass, starts to fill with a little bit of smoke, just to kind of get hazy a little bit. And you notice there's like a dome over at the top of the ceiling, and it flickers to life a little bit and projects the 3D form of Ultracade, mm-hmm. who was many things when you saw him last. I think he was the alien conqueror Gorlok, mm-hmm. But now kind of looks like he kind of looks a little bit like the Mr. DNA thing from mm-hmm. Jurassic Park. He's like swirling, like a double helix of swirling code, and he has kind of a creepy face. And he kind of hovers. He has a couple arms, but he doesn't really have legs. And he hovers in a way that would be like if he were sitting at this this table on the far side.
Hello, Ultracade.
Hello.
I have a few questions for you.
You look familiar.
I bet I do.
He kind of smells. He's like, your energy is familiar.
Right. We'll reconnect later. There is someone going around Protean City frying up circuit boards and disappearing with a lot of nanobucks in the process.
Couldn't have been me. I was in here.
Right, but I have a feeling like you might know who this person is. They break in to gadget-type stores and fry circuitry.
Fry circuitry? Why would I do that?
They disappear into the computer, sort of in a manner that's kind of wispy-like.
Hmm. Doesn't sound familiar.
Can I assess the situation?
Yeah, right. Roll plus superior.
6, 7.
Okay, so ask one of the questions.
How do I get Ultracade what here can I use to get Ultracade to tell me the truth?
I think that you, while you're talking to him, mm-hmm. them, it, while you're talking to it, you can see its eyes kind of like looking around. At first it's watching you. And then it sort of like while you're talking, it kind of gets bored and it's watching frequency. And you can kind of see that it's so like you. Here's the out of character answer. Mm-hmm. You can offer it something that it wants.
Okay.
In exchange, it will tell you the truth. It'll help you. Mm-hmm. Whatever it's looking for, it's cooped up in this jail cell. So if you can provide some service or something that okay. it wants, then it'll try to help you.
Okay.
And it's staring at frequency right now.
Ah! I think you do know what's going on, Ultracade. And my associate, Mo, is well-versed in ways that could maybe make things either very pleasant for you here or maybe much worse. Depends on whether or not you talk.
Someone's going around the city stealing money and disappearing into computers. And if I did know something, what would you give me?
What would you want?
Energy.
What if I were to offer? What do I offer him?
So the last time you saw him, the Ultracade was a bunch of corrupted code that had been corrupted by the Hexworm and was part of this VR system, and it had captured one of your friends and was draining her energy.
Right.
Through the VR headset.
So my thought is to offer him some energy. But I don't know how to do that humanely. I'm thinking of like, I'm trying to figure out a way to put him in the ecosystem of Protean City where he can actually contribute to the city by draining excess energy. How does that even happen? Is there a leaky nuclear fission plant?
He wants human energy. It's going to hover up and sort of like move over to the wall and put one hand up on the glass and kind of like with just like one weird finger point at Frequency. I may have known someone once who meets the description and I could help you find them. Give me some of his energy. It looks delicious.
Can Frequency hear that?
Yeah. You're in a conference room.
Yeah. Oh god. That's a little freaky.
You know I can't do that.
I don't know anything. You brought your friends to me once before.
I did not do that.
Didn't you?
You took them from me.
You brought them to the arcade. You scheduled the game. You're dangerous to be around. And he is trying to shift your danger up and your mundane down.
All right, I'm rejecting that because otherwise I get hurt.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Yes. If you're already at -2.
Yeah.
That's an 11 on the 11. Dice.
So on a hit, you successfully hold yourself and tune them out. On a 10 plus, choose 2. You can clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift one label up and one label down, your choice, or cancel their influence and take +1 forward against them.
I want to clear afraid.
Okay.
And take +1 against them.
Okay, and cancel their influence.
Okay. Okay, so, and now I have to do something to prove them wrong.
Yeah, to prove that you're not dangerous, you don't harm your friends.
Well, okay. I'm gonna take Frequency aside out of the room. Actually. And I'm going to just take him out of the room and say, hey, listen.
You're not going to feed me to that thing, are you?
No, no. Jeez, okay. No, I would never. I just need him to think that it would be possible for me to be asking you to do this. So if you could act kind of upset with me right now.
Oh, yeah, I can act upset. Sure. Yeah, let's
but
go.
I promise the you. Do you
smart computer do you, program?
Do you trust me?
I do.
I would never, ever let him take anything from you, from any of us.
Let's just get this over with.
Okay. So I go back in. And I say, provided that the information and intel that you give us is accurate and helps us lead to the apprehension of our suspect, you will be allowed 10 minutes with my associate.
What?
And at the end of those 10 minutes, you will be walled up again. And you can enjoy that energy.
Look, Ms. Dosen, can we talk about this first?
When you signed on to this mission, you agreed.
I don't know about this.
It doesn't matter what you know. It matters what I know, Mo.
Mr. Cade? Ultra?
Ultra Cade?
Ultra Cade. My apologies. what my associate and I need from you is your assistance in apprehending this subject, and I'm sure the staff here are not going to take kindly to you leaving with us.
I understand.
I was wondering if there may be a way that you could share some of your core coding with me. I can copy this down, and as soon as we are out, I can install you in a device with us.
I think so. It kind of floats back and sits down on the table, like just kind of awkwardly sitting on a table. It hovers over to the actual server closet and kind of like weirdly lovingly touches it. And he's like, "If only my code were under my control. Alas, I am here in prison. If only there were some criminals here who wanted to do crimes and break me free. Criminals I could then help."
Well, so I'm not going to dive immediately into it. So this guy had to get into the room somehow.
Mm-hmm.
This person. So there's got to be some way for me to get into that room.
Right.
You keep talking with him. I'll be right back. And so I'm going to leave the room.
Yeah. So there's the, when you get back into this hallway, there is the way that you came that leads to the lobby, and then there is further.
And then there's the further. I'm going to keep going further down the hallway.
Okay.
In theory, as far as I can go.
Okay. There are a couple rooms off to the sides where that look more like traditional prison cells that have, their own like independent power, like heavy power cords, and a small server rack that each have their own little kind of servers that are like, have like, they don't look like regular servers in that they have like, they're locked in, like you can't just pull the machine out, but they each have what looks like a receptacle for the same like kind of heavy duty hard drive that you saw the tech carry in.
Okay. And do any of those have something installed in it, or are they all empty?
Yeah, they're all installed. Like, those are all, in theory, prisoners of their own.
Okay. So I'm going to try and figure out a way that I can get into one of those rooms, mm-hmm. so that I can grab one of those.
Okay. They all have, actually, they probably don't have doors, really. They probably don't, like, they're not, like, they're assuming that all of these criminals are locked away in the code and that anyone would be prevented from getting in.
Okay.
There are probably cameras watching the hallway, but it's probably pretty easy for you to just like make the camera turn the other way.
Yeah.
And not see you.
Yep. So I'm going to have the camera adjust out of the way.
So you're trying to grab a hard drive?
I'm going in and grabbing one of those hard drives.
Just at random?
Yep.
Okay.
First one I got.
Excellent.
And then I'm trying to, I'm picturing it's the other side of the hallway, get back into that backside of the interrogation room.
It's only a little bit of a U. Like, this is all pretty condensed space because all the prisoners are computers.
Okay.
There's probably a guard. And so I think we probably get like one or two moments of you like almost turn a corner into the guard and then have to like stop and dive back. But again, they're not really expecting, like the guard is sort of a formality. You're able to get around to the other side of this room.
Okay. So I'm now on the other side of the glass. I step in, I cough a little bit because it's filled with smoke.
He awkwardly, you see the hologram still on your side.
There's probably a really creepy hologram near me that is like looking at me like,
he stops.
A bear looks
like
at fish.
Like when you enter the room, there's the little puff of smoke as it sort of like starts to exit the door.
Yeah.
And you see this hologram and it like lifts a finger to Alina. He's like, "We'll get back to that conversation later." And then it hovers over to where you are and almost like passes through you. And like, there's a moment where you get blinded by the projector light and stuff. It's just like floating around you.
Yeah. So I don't even really make any recognition. I don't look at it or anything. I just walk by it, head over to that main central stack.
Yep.
And swap out.
Okay.
The hard drives.
So the when you pull out the old drive, the obviously the hologram of the of Ultracade disappears.
Yep.
And this weird, like, I want to say it looks like, imagine Clippy, the like the word helper thing,
the little paper
clip. The paperclip, but it's bent so that it looks like it's still got the like Clippy face with the eyes, but it's longer and spirally and bent so that it has like hundreds of tiny little like centipede legs.
Ooh.
And like there's like this is some weird program that was probably some helper bot that was corrupted during the Hexworm's attack.
Gross.
And so it kind of has taken on the form of the Hexworm, and it starts to like scuttle around, and where Ultracade is like a sentient thing, this is definitely not.
Okay. So I just look at Alina through the glass.
Yes.
And sort of motion to you. I kind of hold it up. I'm like, all right, I got him. We need to get out of here fast.
Okay. So.
And I run out of that door that was open.
Okay. The lady at the desk or the person at the desk would just be like, if you're done, we'll have someone go in and shut down the system. But I hope you got everything that you needed.
Yes. Thank you. Very good. We must be going.
We need to stay on schedule. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Frequency.
Yeah.
Question.
Yes.
There was this scanner at the door.
Yes.
I'm just going to ask you, would fooling this scanner be something that is inside your wheelhouse of things that you can do?
Fooling it, no. But trying to just get in and fry it and break it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, Lena, you walk past it. And you didn't bring anything extra in. You didn't bring anything extra out.
So, I need 15 seconds of distraction. And we can get this. And I'll be able to get the hard drive out. No problem. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, I got you covered.
Okay. And so I go through and I turn and wait. And then.
So what are you doing as a distraction?
Okay. So I'm still a few feet back away from everything. I'm going to start sort of like yelling and screaming like, and
Jesus.
Okay.
And I'm doing a robot, like a really bad robot dance.
Okay.
And I'm like, it's got me. I can't control it. It's got me.
The guard is going to definitely rush over to you and grab you and try to stop you from moving and being like, are you all right? Are you all right? What's happening? What's going on?
And I've got this like, it does not compute. Just keep dance. And I just keep dancing, doing a weird robot.
And while he's doing that, I take his where the hard drive was being stowed.
Yeah.
And sort of telekinetically carry it over
up and around
the sensors.
Okay.
And once I've got it, and say, hey, that wasn't funny the first three times you did it. It's not funny now. Mo, come on.
I turn to the guard and I'm sorry. I just can't help myself. I'm sorry.
He's just going to kind of give you this look like the fucking kids these days. And just like push you through the scanner and resume his post.
Thanks. I'm sorry. I turn back to him and do like a robot wave and I'm like, have a good day.
And then I yank him.
Okay.
Behind me and we just run to the car.
Okay. So
that was a good distraction.
It was good. I like that. So where are you going next?
Ultracade.
Okay. Ultracade. So the Ultracade VR arcade is it's still there. It's I think it's empty. Like, it's technically, like, after the code got shut down, everyone, mm-hmm. and, like, the story about the kid who got stuck and had, like, and almost died in the VR thing, that really ruins a business. That's, like, kind of a thing that shuts down stuff. So the building is empty. It's not even probably locked. It's just like in a strip mall somewhere. And so you're able to get in pretty quickly. The lights are all off, but all the hardware is still there. Like, I think literally they went out of business so fast they didn't have time to come get their old stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's part of a strip mall or something. So when you flip the lights on and stuff, like the main breaker, you probably find that pretty easily. It comes back on.
Right.
And so if you remember, there were kind of like two main rooms. Mm-hmm. There was the server room that was behind the main desk, which was where the computer system was. And then there was the VR room that had a bunch of those like inverted dome running spaces where you can sit and you stand and put like a thing around your waist and so you can move but you're all staying in place. Then you have the VR goggles that are kind of these big extreme headsets that like they give you vision and sound and it's a pretty heavy duty system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your plan?
We want to plug UltraCade into the system. So we can talk to him.
Okay.
And get the more info and see if maybe he can lead us to where our suspect is hiding out.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's doable. Okay. Yeah. It's a pretty like what I think that there is. This is a like this hard drive has some like a little bit of an enclosure around it. Yeah, but I imagine it's pretty easy. You're good at tinkering with stuff.
Yeah. So I head into the back room and I'm hooking everything up and hopefully
flipping all the switches.
Yeah, flipping all the switches, get everything running, get everything booted up.
Okay. So are you gonna go back? So then you're gonna go back to this room and put on the VR headsets.
Mm-hmm. So
Frequency, have you done VR before? Has Frequency ever done like I don't know if you need to because you see computer stuff.
Yeah,
I
mean I'm sure I've done VR stuff, but I don't do it a lot because like I can do my own little illusion hologram things and for my own. So for me, this is kind of, I don't want to say primitive, but I'm like, oh, this is what all you...
I have to use these controllers to control the game.
So, Alina, this is a little embarrassing, but can you help me get this stuff on and set up?
Yeah, sure.
Like, does it matter which hand's which?
Well, I mean, it depends on if your thumbs are in different places, but...
Nope, they're in the same places they've always been.
I mean, never mind what I mean. Yeah, here you go. So I help him put on all of the gear.
You put the headsets on.
Right.
And you find yourselves in a jail. It is an identical replica of the room you were just in. But now you guys are on the smoky hologram side. And UltraCade is on the other side, interrogating you. He's just like, "Welcome to VR."
Okay, you've got a we got you out.
It feels so good.
So tell us what we want to know.
They will be like, when I was getting set up here for the first time, I asked around for information from like who the criminals and heroes you should be worried about in Protean City are. And there was someone that all the other programs said to not bother with or to not mess with because they were a big player and dangerous even for a criminal. I don't know what their real name was, but everyone called them System Panic. And it sounds a lot like what you're looking for.
Okay, System Panic. So, what else do you know about System Panic? What do they want? What are they?
I'm the one who's been in jail for.
Where did they like to hang out?
They moved around a lot. System Panic was a human who could enter the system, join my world. But they spent most of their time in the system, but moving around. Hard to find, but dangerous.
So, how can you show us where he might... Can you help us find him?
As long as you uphold your part of the bargain and I get energy, then I think I can help you. They always said, stay to the arcade, don't make too big of a noise, and System Panic won't destroy you. Let's make some noise. And so Ultracade is going to kind of like crack their knuckles of code fingers or whatever, and dissolve the world around you. Mm-hmm. And so you're now like, it just sort of disintegrates from the top and wipes down kind of, and you're in like a big white open matrixy space.
Mm-hmm.
And after like a moment of flexing, he's stretching, it's going to make this big, like grand hand gesture, of like lifting things up from the ground, and a big city, is going to like slam up around you. And suddenly you're in the middle of a street, and it's not like Protean City. It's not the like glamorous gold coated, like neo futuristic, pastel painted city. This is like a hard, dark city. Mm-hmm. Where things are gritty and grimy. And the streets have like, and it is pouring rain. It is night. And you are all suddenly, dressed differently. Let's say you are. Let's do this. So he has created. Ultracade has created a noir type world.
Okay.
And we see like. So I think actually you even see this. Like if there's mm-hmm. a moment where you see the city rising up around you, and then it cuts away. Excuse me. It cuts away, and we see. In probably black and white, a full moon in the dark sky with a scattering of clouds a scattering of stars and a cloud that starts to like cover part of the moon. Mm-hmm. And the camera does this like slow pan down, from the tops of these like big, skyscraper buildings down into the streets, and like an old automobile drives past it, and you see these words pop up on the, like just floating in this vision in front of you. It just says, midnight comes early. And it cuts back to the three of you standing in this street. Ultracade has taken on the form of just like a very rumpled police officer. It looks like their uniform hasn't been ironed ever, and hasn't been washed in a while. It looks like they haven't shaved in a while. So describe what you guys look like in this noir world.
I've got a like sharp suit on, black suit. Like white shirt, probably like a fedora. Mm-hmm. With like a red feather or something stuck in it, or a red band on it. Somewhere in there, there's like some splash of red on there.
Mm-hmm.
I look good.
Okay.
By the way. Sharp, crisp.
Okay. So I have a very spangly evening gown on My hair's done up in victory curls. I too have some red in the form of bright red lipstick.
Ultracate is going to turn to you and say, I built this world so that you can see what I see. This is the networks behind Protean City. They said, don't make a noise and don't make a fuss and system panic won't come for you. Let's go make a scene. See if we can lure him out.
Okay. I think I'm with you on this. We're here and we're here and I'm making noise.
I think maybe the kind of noise might be digital that gets his attention.
So I guess I have a question here at this point then.
Yes.
How do powers work in VR space?
So your powers probably translate pretty literally.
Oh, okay.
He is creating, Ultracate is creating a virtual reality, like, facade, basically, for the networks of Protean City. Your powers let you interact with those networks anyway.
Okay.
And so you can, I would imagine, if you want to alter the simulation, like, you probably couldn't necessarily do the heavy lifting of creating this whole thing yourself. But now that it's there, if you wanted to alter it, create things, change things,
okay,
do your thing normally, you can probably do that.
Okay.
Alina's telekinesis probably doesn't translate as directly. The last time we did this, both her and Windshear experienced that, like, when they were in a world where their characters had powers, the things in their brains that triggered those powers were able to trigger the powers in the game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was why I was assuming there was not powers. So, okay.
But I think your powers extend. This dirty cop version of Ultracade is going to turn and explain. They said, keep your head down. Don't connect out to the network. Stay quiet. Don't let anyone see you. And you can go in and you can do your thing by yourself. And system panic won't come and harass you. But what if we didn't? What if I made a simulation? Something big, something bold, something worth a lot of energy. He kind of looks at Frequency. And connected to everything. Let you find the criminal.
Well, I mean, if this system panic is running around looking for, I mean, as far as I know, he's just stealing digital currencies. Let's go rob a bank.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at RHarvey1211. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.